It sure is good to see everyone tonight in the four corners. Man, we got it all, don't we? I tell you what, I like it. That's good stuff. It's good to see our travelers back. Been missing y'all. Amen. Good to have y'all back. Good to see everybody. And been looking forward to getting back into the study. I think we'll finish up on the topic of marriage and divorce tonight. And this is definitely not all-inclusive as far as what the Bible has to say, but really just kind of focusing on some of the verses the first night, and then the last couple of times here, a few times looking at what 1 Corinthians chapter number 7 has in it. So if you want to turn there, that's where we'll pretty well be tonight and finish out and kind of hit some of the high spots of it and what it's talking about. But it sure is good to see everyone, and I guess I can go ahead and kind of give some announcements and everything. I figured there'd be the turnout be a little low tonight, and that's absolutely understandable, but we got to go by and see Miss Betty and Sister Rebecca for a little bit, and so I think they might be watching if they got the live stream worked on. We was working on that before we got here, but hope they got it figured out. But it's always a blessing to go by and visit with them, see them, but let's remember them in our prayers. And I'll give an update, and the church and folks may know, but talked to Brother James a little while ago. And so they pushed back his appointment until 8 o'clock in the morning. So they're going to do a heart cath in the morning at 8 a.m. So wanted to let everyone know about that. Also, Dad's going to have more surgery coming up on August 3rd. He's going to have some back surgery. So wanted to mention that tonight also. And for those that may not have heard, Pastor, Brother Jerry Honeycutt, he passed away yesterday. And his funeral services are going to be at Victory, his church there at Victory in Roan Mountain on Saturday. So I wanted to share that with everyone this Sunday, and then also next Sunday we'll have missionaries coming, and I'll announce again, but this Sunday we have Brother John Jaira Nono, and he is a missionary going to Thailand, and so he'll be taking Sunday school and preaching hour this Sunday, and that is not the Brother Nono that we know. I'll say it like that. It's a different no-no. It's a different one. He's going to Thailand. Brother Edgar no-no that we support, he is in the Philippines. So it's a different one. I guess maybe it's like cornets and coffees and all that. There's different groups, I guess you could say. So that's my understanding anyway there. But he can add clarification to that if I'm off there. And then I wanted to also mention, looking forward to homecoming on August 23rd. Do have some special singing that's coming. Planning on being here and what have you, so looking forward to that. A couple of folks reached out, said they wanted to come and sing for us, and I said absolutely. And then Brother Nathan, anything you got planned, that's A-okay as far as singing also. So we'll have a good homecoming time. And I've reached out to Brother Jeffrey Austin, who had moved to Burnsville for a while, but he's back in Boone, and he's been here. I think most people know Brother Jeffrey. He's a real blessing. And remember him from years ago. I say years ago now, but a few years ago, used to see him and meet with him some over at when he's at Vanderpool a little bit. Not pastoring, but that's where he used to attend. But so I think that's the announcements for right now. But again, that's kind of intermingled with some prayer requests. But I just wanted to start with that tonight. But all right, so we're in 1 Corinthians chapter number 7. We're going to look at verses 25 through 40, which that is a whole lot, and so I know it's a lot to cover and everything, but again, more so skimming, because some of this is not what I would say very detailed in depth as far as just kind of what he's talking about here tonight. But I'll read, and then we'll pray, and then we'll get into the message for tonight. Verse number 25, it says, "Now concerning virgins, I have no commandment of the Lord, yet I give my judgment, as one that hath obtained mercy of the Lord to be faithful. I suppose, therefore, that this is good for the present distress, that I say that it is good for a man so to be. Art thou bound unto a wife? Seek not to be loosed. Art thou loosed from a wife? Seek not a wife. But if thou marry, thou hast not sinned. And if a virgin marry, he hath not sinned. Nevertheless, such shall have trouble in the flesh, but I spare you. But this I say, brethren, the time is short. It remaineth that both they that have wives be as though they have none, and they that weep as though they wept not, and they that rejoice as though they rejoice not, and they that buy as though they possess not. And they that use this world as not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passeth away. But I would have you to be without carefulness. He that is unmarried careth for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he that is married careth for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife. We see things about life provisions there. There's difference also between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman careth for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and in spirit. But she that is married careth for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. And this I speak for your own profit, not that I may cast the snare upon you, but for that which is comely, and that ye may attend upon the Lord without distraction. But if any man think that he behaveth himself uncomely toward his virgin, if she pass the flower of her age and need to require, let him do what he will, he sinneth not, let them marry. Nevertheless, he that standeth steadfast in his heart, having no necessity, but hath power over his own will, and hath so decreed in his heart that he will keep his virgin, doeth well. So then he that giveth her in marriage doeth well, but he that giveth her not in marriage doeth better. The wife is bound by the law as long as her husband liveth, but if her husband be dead, she is at liberty to be married to whom she will, only in the Lord. But she is happier if she so abide after my judgment, and I think also that I have the Spirit of God. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much, Lord, for your word, for the time allowing us to be together here tonight, God. And I stand in need, Lord, always. Lord, I always stand in need of you, your forgiveness, your help, your uplifting, your anointing, God. And I just pray that you guide us through this study, God, my mouth and my mind and my heart, through everything that's said and done, each message, Lord, especially tonight also, as we look through these scriptures, God, I always want to stay in context in what you're teaching to help us and to help us to grow. God, so many things to pray about. I know we'll be praying again soon, but so many things to pray about, God. We just pray about those, for those that are in need in our church, and just pray that you uplift their spirits, God, help them. We appreciate each one so much, Lord. Just all who attend our church, each one, God, we thank you for them. Thank you for their faithfulness and their desire to learn, to grow. And God, I pray that you always give me the messages, the lessons that we need, God, and help me to study those, Lord, to the way you'd have me to, that would help the church and help us all to grow. Go with us tonight, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. I know that's a lot of verses, but some of it is kind of clustered together just a little bit. And so, again, just to keep our minds on what this is talking about, it's important that we understand what is commanded versus what Paul is actually given preference. And as I was studying this, I thought, my goodness, who is Paul that he could give such advice? When you think about how the Lord had given him, I guess you'd say, liberty to say some of these things from experience, but it is absolutely for our good. It's one thing to get things from God himself, obviously, and from the Lord Jesus Christ to get those things. But in talking about marriage, you're talking about experience here. Paul could speak from experience. When you think about Jesus Christ, he was not married. He was here strictly for the ministry, and I think that speaks a lot to what this is talking about as well. I think in a lot of ways, it's kind of, as people grow up and maybe traditionally look at things, it's like people are geared to, you've got to do A, B, C, D. You've got to do these things. And it may not be God's will for everybody to be married. You know, it's kind of a different way of thinking. The Bible does teach us, when you go back and look how things started out in Genesis about procreating the earth and everything, go and replenish the earth. That was how we're supposed to be here, how we're going to be here. And if that's not happening, then nobody's going to be here. But as time goes on and population has grown, I think things somewhat change. And the way I see Paul talking here, and again, a lot of this is not by commandment. It's not him saying, God is saying, do this. Paul is speaking from his own experiences. And his experiences far exceed probably just about everybody that ever lived in one way or another. Brother Allen, when you think about it, Paul actually ascended into the third heaven. He saw what eternity looked like. He saw the big picture. Instead of, like us, looking through the scriptures and looking through a glass darkly, Paul, in seeing what he saw, even in the body, he did not know, as it said, kind of the discourse he goes back and forth, whether I know or I do not know, but this is what he was accounting. Was I asleep? Was it a vision? Or was I actually there? He's just recounting what God allowed him to see about heaven in his mind, but would not allow him to fully talk about it. So when we see some of the things that Paul is talking about here, I think he has the afterlife in view, where you and I can only kind of hypothesize what that looked like just based off the Bible. And so he's saying here, these first few verses, says, "Now concerning virgins, I have no commandment of the Lord, yet I give my judgment." So clearly that is his thoughts on this, as one that hath obtained mercy of the Lord to be faithful. His number one goal is being faithful to God. Married, singled, divorced, what have you, it's not forgetting who Jesus is, who God is, and what our purpose is, and keeping God the centerpiece of what we're talking about. He says, "I suppose, therefore, that this is good for the present distress. I say that it is good for a man so to be." So I looked over things here. I remember when we were in school, it's one of the things that I remember some of the preachers talking about, maybe some of the instructors, but the preachers were talking about, they said, you know, and it very well may be these verses that they were recounting, but they said, you know, for Paul's life and what he was doing, it would have been tremendously burdensome for him to be married. I mean, he was going to be in prison. He wasn't going to be home taking care of a wife and family. He was going to be in prison for the cause of Christ. So he had a different role than a lot of people. But here's the thing, God knew that. God knows what our calling is. When we say that God doesn't call the equipped, he equips the called, then that's exactly what the Bible teaches. And I believe that's what Paul is saying here. Now, for Paul to speak from experience about marriage, what was the number one requirement that he would need to have? Had to have been married. Or he's speaking from what he thinks versus what he knows. And so I believe that's where part of it was there again. Being a member of the Sanhedrin required to be married for that part. So there were things there. But to say even as I believe what he's talking about is being a widower. And what he's saying here is that he is living the single life from here on out. And remember, I want us to keep this in mind also. Paul isn't just out on the street just preaching this blindly to people. These were questions that this church asked him. These were Gentile people that had no Jewish tradition, anything like that to follow, no tradition at all. And so they're saying here, okay, we're in church, and I know there's rules, there's commandments, there's things we're to follow. Paul, how are we supposed to live a married life? What's a married life look like? And so that's the basis for these questions. And again, this part here is talking about, and my subtitle says marriage and Christian service, but again, talking about the virgins, the unmarried people. And if a person wants to stay that way, guess what? It's okay. Paul's saying here, I don't have a commandment for you that Jesus is saying stay this way, or that the Lord is saying you get married. There's no commandment, but he said, let me give you a little advice based off of what I know, based off of my experience, is what Paul is saying here. And that the present distress of his life, it was enough for him to try to keep up with himself versus other things going on. His focus, writing much of the New Testament, he is not going to be able to fulfill his role as a father and do that at the same time the way he's supposed to. When you look at the oath, there's only so many oaths that we can take, and we're going to start breaking oaths. So you think about, you have to prioritize at that point. But he goes on to say here, again, talking to this church, art thou bound unto a wife? Do you have a wife? He's saying, well, what if I'm married and what if I'm on fire for God? Do I need to leave her and just go all in for God? And he's saying, no. If you're married, you stay married. That's your obligation. You've committed to that. You've taken that oath. You've made that commitment. Art thou bound to a wife? Seek not to be loosed. Art thou loosed from a wife? Seek not to be, seek not a wife. So if you've loosed, if you're not married, then he's saying it's better. Again, this is Paul, remember, this is Paul's advice he's given here. He's saying it's better for you not to remarry. Just stay single and go all in for God. That's what Paul was doing. And so I could see why he is giving that advice to other people as well. Say, hey, he's saying this, I have a view of what eternity looks like, and it far exceeds some of the things that we're going through in this life. So keep that in mind is what he's talking about here, and you'll see this as we go through, I trust. In verse number 28, but, and if thou marry, thou hast not sinned, talking about somebody who's not been married before, it's not a sin. But, and if thou marry, thou hast not sinned, and if a virgin marry, she hath not sinned. Nevertheless, such shall have trouble in the flesh, but I spare you. And so going on here to say here, it comes with responsibilities. Instead of, you think about, it's probably, let me go back to being unmarried. Let's try to go at it that way. When I was unmarried, Jason really had to focus on Jason. Before I got married, thinking about serving the Lord, seeking out the Lord, really it was my work responsibilities, the responsibilities that Mom placed on me when I lived at home, and then it was me. So that's the focus. And you think about the time of that time of life, how much you can focus on the Lord. Now, those that have been married, those who are married, those who have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 kids, does that not change things a lot? It's not that you don't love the Lord. It's not that you don't care for the Lord, but you absolutely have other responsibilities on top of that. And so in light of what Paul is talking about here, he's saying it's not a sin, but he's saying here it's going to come with different responsibilities. It comes with more, so just know that. Maybe this free time of prayer, devotion, or let's say this memory verses, Brother Finley, the time that you would put in that, sometimes these other things are going to take priority. It changes things. Being a parent changes things. But this, verse 29, but this I say, brethren, time is short. You know, thinking about all these things, looking at things that gets our mind off of God, time is so short. If we live to be 100 years old, the Bible still tells us in the book of James, that still is a vapor. That's a vapor. Brandy and I, she's down helping Miss Marilyn, Sister Marilyn with the class, but we've been watching the new series, Little House on the Prairie, came out, right? So I told you about that. This is wholesome, so I can say this. Well, it kind of sparked something. Growing up, she didn't watch the original Little House on the Prairie, and I said, Brandy, you're missing out. You're going to have to watch this. Ma and Paul and Jack, I mean, the Olsons, you know, I mean, you got to watch it. So we started watching it. She's loved it. She loves it. She's hooked. I know Sarah and I, Sister Sarah and I talked about it also too, but she's hooked on it. But kind of looking at some of these things and how it was, I completely lost where I was going with that right there. But anyway, if you want to watch it, it's good. You can learn and grow from it. But again, we'll just keep going on. I completely lost my train of thought on where I was going with that right there. But verse 28, verse 29, but this I say unto you, brethren, yes, this is what I was going to say, time is short, it remaineth both they that have wives be as though they have had none. Looking back to that time period, thinking about 100 years and how fast that goes by. You look back into the 1800s, that's not so long ago. You think about the early 1900s, that's not so long ago, but you look at how society has changed so much in the amount of time, that's a lot. Time is short, and time is moving on. It remaineth both that they that have wives be as though they had none, the times and things that go on in life, and they that weep as though they wept not, and they that rejoice as though they rejoiced not, and they that buy as though they possessed not. And then verse number 31, and they that use this world as not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passeth away. I read all that, and where my heart goes is we get so fixated sometimes on what we see in the here and now, how things are, or how we perceive things to be. And that is, this is kind of how it goes in school. Growing up, it's like I've got to get an education, then I've got to figure out where to go to college, Then after that, I got to get a good paying job. And then it goes on from there to the plans that a person typically makes for themselves. That's the fashion of the world. That's not the fashion of eternity. When you look at eternity, all those things that sometimes take priority over eternity really doesn't matter. Look at it this way. The things that were not done for the Lord in this life, how much of that is actually going to matter in eternity versus what we've done for the Lord? The fashion of this world, this is going to pass away. And see, Paul, you imagine him writing this down saying, I don't know, I've seen what's on the other side, and this is the best advice I can give you. The Lord's not going to allow me to tell you what I saw, but just trust me in what I'm saying. This is the best. It's not the same fashion. It's different. When you look at the word fashion, that means a maker of form. And as I read these verses, I was like, you know, this sparked something else in my mind too, that Jesus was talking about to the Pharisees when they were asking him about, you remember, they were asking him about now, if a man and a wife are married, and then they get a divorce, and that wife remarry, who is she going to be in eternity with? How's that going to work? You know, really trying to throw a wrench in everything. But Jesus, part of his response was this. In Matthew 22:30, he said, for in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. So there's no marriage. You know, we shall be known as we're known, the Bible teaches. But I think sometimes we think that, okay, when we go from here into heaven, then we're just going to have our new home in heaven with our family. We're just going to sit there with our new family. Well, there's no marriage in heaven. This is a completely different way. And see, Paul's explaining that. We get locked up in things here. It's a completely different way. And I think if we can take some of this to heart, and this is stuff you got to meditate on, take some of this to heart, it gives us a new perspective on life. It's not downplaying marriage and saying marriage doesn't matter, but marriage is just for this life. It's not in the life to come. And you'll see this at the end of the chapter here, and it goes on to explain that a little bit too. Verse number 32, but I would have you without carefulness, he that is unmarried careth for the things that belong to the Lord, how that he may please the Lord. Going back to the example of before getting married, a person has more time, literally. Time is precious, and it goes by so quickly. Time is short, as it says in verse number 29. But he that is unmarried cares for the things that belong to the Lord and how he may please the Lord. It's more of a one-on-one relationship instead of bringing a family in. Also, verse 33, it says, but he that is married cares for the things that are of the world and how he may please his wife. It's paying the bills, providing. The husband is to provide and take care of the family, and those provisions come along, and that comes with responsibilities and times. In verse 34, it says, and there is a difference also between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman careth for the things of the Lord. Again, being unmarried, similar situation as it's talking about with the man there, that she may be holy both in body and in spirit. But she that is married careth for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. And so again, kind of straightforward in what it's talking about there. Verse number 35, and this I speak for your own profit. This is for us to take to heart and understand, not that I may cast a snare upon you, but for that which is comely, and that ye may attend unto the Lord without distraction. He said, I'm not trying to say, hey, if you can go without being married, I'm not trying to throw a stumbling block out there. Like you said before, if you can't contain, it's better for you to get married. But if you're geared this way, and I'll say this, I believe with all my heart, it's the exception to the rule and not the rule. I think most people are probably geared toward being married, geared toward being with somebody. But if a person is content not, Paul's saying that's absolutely fine. He said, but give all your time to the Lord. Dedicate that to the Lord. Give it to God. Give it all you got. Give it all you got for the Lord. Again, I'll read that again. It says, and this I speak for your own profit, not that I may cast the snare upon you, but for that which is comely, and that you may attend upon the Lord without distraction. And that's pretty clear in what he's saying, I believe, there. Verse 36, But if any man think that he behaveth himself uncomely toward his virgin, if she pass the flower of her age and need so require, let him do what he will. He sinneth not, let them marry. Nevertheless, he that standeth steadfast in his heart, having no necessity, but hath power over his own will, and hath so decreed in his heart that he will keep his virgin, doeth well. He's saying, if you want to get married, and you want to live a life that way, and you can have no necessity, you doeth well. There's nothing wrong with that. This goes pretty deep into things. I mean, when you look at it, people are different. Families are different. Now, everything's not a one-size-fits-all, and that's just how it is. Paul's talking to everybody, not just a select few in these verses here. In verse number 38, so then he that giveth her in marriage doeth well, but he that giveth her not in marriage doeth better. So Paul, you can kind of see at this juncture, at this time, he's basically saying if you live your life straight for the Lord, there's nothing wrong with that. It's almost, I guess, his preference. In these last two verses here, it says here, but the wife is bound by the law as long as her husband liveth. So this kind of goes back into some of the things that kind of where, I guess, the topic started in our study. The wife is bound by the law as long as her husband liveth. So as long as the husband is alive, then that's the husband. That's the one husband. But if her husband be dead, she is at liberty to be married to whom she will, but only in the Lord. You think maybe that could go without saying, but Paul is going to say that, but it's not just go find you another man so you're not living alone, but find the right one. Find the one. And you know, that does happen a lot in lifetime. There's been several instances, of course, we know that someone passed away. You can't control that. And then somebody's blessed to find another mate to marry, somebody in the Lord. But again, you can really see what it says here. It's until death do us part. The Bible's very clear on teaching on that part of it there. And then verse number 40, again, Paul, he keeps going back to this every time. But she is happier if she shall abide after my judgment, that's Paul himself saying, and I think also that I have the Spirit of God. He's saying, I think the Lord is not going to condemn me in what I'm saying, give me the liberty to say that. But if she abide, as Paul said before, even as he, staying single and then focusing just solely on God, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. But that's the lesson. I know that's probably a little shorter than normal, but I think a lot of that is kind of straightforward teaching and what have you. And again, I don't time these, so I don't know how long it's going to be. I don't recite and try to time it out and everything. It is what it is. But I wonder if anybody has any comments.